Hello everyone, welcome to the presentation Reimagining Claims Triage, Enhancing Claims Triage, and Claims Understanding with GOMs and LLMs. As claims experience for the life insurance industry continue to deteriorate, claims management is under significant pressure from increasing complex claims, customer expectation, manual process, and the need for faster claim decision time. By integrating generalized linear model and large language model, actuaries can support the change in claims triage process into a faster, smarter, and more consistent process to uncover the new insights. I would like to now introduce our presenter, Mariana and Sammy from Dartley, to talk about this topic.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Good. Okay, can you raise your hand if in the last month you talked to a claim assessor or someone from the claims team? Okay, great. Half of the room said yes. That's good. If you haven't, that's okay. Maybe after the end of this conversation, next week you can have a session with them. So let's talk about claims. I've worked with claims data and claims process for the last 15 years. In different roles, different projects, from experience investigations, assumption setting, claims ranking projects, and claims remediation projects. What I've learned from claims assessors is two main things. The first one is that they know so much about the customer. So much about the customer from the underwriting information they see, from when the policy started, when they are in claim, they know about the financial support, the social support, the financial situation. They talk about, they have interactions with the customer. Another thing that I've learned from them is that they are the first contact when the person is on claim. That means that their interactions and recommendation can have an impact on the claim cost and claim duration. On the other side, on my actuarial side, we don't have that data just yet. All the models from reserves and pricing and product are done with a set of 10 data points. Whereas claims assessors, when they analyze and review a claim, they look at almost 100 data points that are relevant for assessing the claim. We as actuaries, when the claim happens, we don't necessarily have an impact on claim cost and claim duration. But that's why I'm coming today to present that that can change. We can actually work close to claims teams and work on improving claims data, claims processes, and claims outcomes if we implement certain models like AI. So let's talk about a little bit more of what claims challenges are. Doesn't look like it's working. Okay. Let's start. The claims challenges can be split in four categories. The first one, changing landscape, efficiencies, insights and data, and prioritization. Changing landscape, we heard of it the whole session, right? The increasing of claims related to mental health, the increase of complaints. Right now, insurance companies are dedicating a lot of resource and time of reviewing these complaints because the top three complaint is about claims handling. Then we have efficiency. It's about time to decision. So from LICOP, a TPD claim has a 6 months time to decision. An IP has 2 months. But if you look at the APRA stats, you can see that even for TPD, there's like 15 to 30%, depending on the channel, that they are beyond the 6 month mark or beyond the 2 month mark. What happens with that? It creates friction. And if there's friction, there's bad reputation. And if there's bad reputation, we have lapses. And us as actuaries, we care about lapses. So efficiency is a challenge. There's a lot of time of the assessors looking at the analysis of the information and very little time to talk to the customer and tailor the solutions. Insights and data. We all want to know more of what are the drivers of TPD or complex claims. We all want to improve the data quality because we know every quarter, whoever sees DLR, they see a jump every quarter because there's data issues. Insurance companies have done so much remediations on claims because we still see some cases where the date of claim is wrong or the date of birth is blank. So there's still all these data issues we can see, and this is a problem. Then we have prioritization. And prioritization is related to the return of investment. What are the strategies to manage a claim? Which person should be allocated to? It should be an early intervention or more in investigation teams, or is it going to be another type of assessor that should be looking at this? And these are the strategies. Which strategy should be best? So, because of these challenges, there is a room for innovation. And this is the opportunity where actuaries, with all the skills and modeling we have, we can actually make a difference and implement models that can help reimagine the process, support the claims data and claims process. So now let's just deep dive a little bit more on how the process of claims assessors looks like. This model is read from left to right. First, the customer just lodged a claim. Then there's all this data information that's sent through. Then there's a triage. And then the triage is being sent to different types of people from assessors. So what are the key pain points here? The first one is there's still insurance companies that they still have people typing some of the information from claims, which has an issue on data quality. The second pain point is about all these 8 data sets. They have around 100 data points that they have to look. So for claims assessors, they spend maybe from 1 day to 5 days only assessing the claim, not the time to decision. Remember, the time to decision is 6 months or 2 months. It's only assessing. So there is a room to improve that analysis. And that's why we can help with implementing models that make that analysis faster, extract those data points faster. All of these leads in different systems, in different files, just to give you an idea. The workers' compensation report is at least 200 pages. And then from there, they have to make sure that they identified each of the facts. The other pain point is about claims triage. Hopefully you hear me. Now I forgot. Sorry. I got too passionate about showing the diagram. Anyway, the claims triage. The claims triage in some insurance companies could be one person, a senior assessor telling which one should go to. It could be a proof of concept where it's starting to look at the information on different technologies. It could be a provider that doesn't have really the information of that insurance company. Or it could be an engine which uses limited information. Remember, at the moment, the claim systems, at least, they only have around 10 data points that they looked at. But the assessors looks up to 100. Anyway, then the triage happens and it goes to the different assessors. Not for all the insurance companies, they get a claim where they have a different ranking, where they say, a rehab lead tell me, okay, I receive 100 claims. Do I focus on the one that I need to respond very quickly? Or should I be looking at the one that has a better impact to the customer and is going to return to work? So that prioritization is one of the challenges that we want to tackle. Okay, so what are we proposing? We're proposing an integrated agentic AI system where LLMs and machine learning models focus on the following goals. So what is an agentic AI system? In simple words, it is a combination of agents that can work together to achieve specific goals. The way you design it is that each agent have its own guidelines and guardrails to define the specific task. You don't leave it to have one big model do everything. You segment in different tasks and make sure that that agent does that one very well. And that's where you find control and governance in the system. So what are the goals that we define when we set up this? The first one is new generation of predictors. So by transforming unstructured data that it's logged in PDSs, nodes, emails, you transform unstructured information to structure. You have that information in a database. That's when you have a database, then you can do all the different analytics that actuaries love to do. Then, what is the second one? Better customer outcomes. Once we have all this information, we can improve the time of analysis from assessors. So assessors now can have time to talk to the customer, to talk to the GP, to understand the holistic view of the problem and tailor solutions, because they're really good at identifying what are the type of strategies. But we can also help with the strategies. We need to be able to measure what are the best strategies, optimize those strategies. And actuaries are really good to finding that type of optimal problem. So better customer outcomes means earlier interventions, faster decision, less friction with the customer, and more time to talk to them person to person. The third one is financial outcomes. In this one is try to move away from the thinking of, oh, claims process is an operational process. No, it's a lever. It's a lever that can help us control claim cost and claim duration. What are some examples of that? Early intervention impacts claim duration. If we work on data quality, it can help us with the assumptions and also with the volatility. If we help optimizing the best strategies to manage the claim, it will help us with the duration of the claim. Allocating the right assessor to the right skill set, that will help us with claim cost. So all of that is financial outcomes. The fourth one is orchestrate training. This one, the idea of this is to make sure our objective was if we can bring historical information, underwriting information, and we can also have the current information, but in addition, we can have the assessor's analysis and review and understanding and those conversations with the client and record all of it, we can train and learn. So those were the main four goals we set up to build this model. I'll have a pause here. So how does the architecture look like? So the idea of this model is to show, and I wanted to, again. Before I go to the details, I want you to have a look on the right side. What all the different tasks all these agents do. So ingest, extract, classify, score, decide, critique, summarize, escalate, record, learn, all of these ones. So there's multiple agents doing all of this. Just key ones. We want to extract the facts. We want to classify them, right? Map them. If we're thinking about, let's say, job satisfaction, we want to extract from all the different information what job satisfaction looks like from the forms of information. We want to classify it high, medium, low. Agents are really good to understanding and getting that. But if you don't put the right controls or the guidelines, you could get it wrong. Then escalate. This is going to talk about escalating to the claim assessor. Those are the main tasks. Just quickly give you an overview of the model. So first, easy, customer lodge a claim. Then we have this brain with multiple nodes with all the different agents. All the different agents is when it transfers from unstructured to structure. Extracts the facts, creates an inference. All of that information gets recorded in the structured data hub. Once it has the facts and the layer of inference, then it can go to the claims triage model, which is a whole analysis that actuaries like me are passionate to build. So when it goes to the triage model, then it goes and gives the assessor specific information, a summary of the analysis, a ranking of the claims, early warnings, and specific factors, specific markers that would say if it's a fraud marker, if it's a mental health marker, if it should be looking at a complexity or a medical severity, all these different early warnings, flags, they should be shown straight through very quickly for the assessor. And then we have a feedback loop, which is what is very important in this model. So once the claims assessors review this information, they can say, no, there was something wrong. I don't agree. Or you know what? I had another call with a customer and gave me this extra information. So all that information will go back to the second LLM, which feedback all the information. We want to make sure that we track all those override and extra information. And then you have the triage model. Triage model, you want to make sure you have a training machine learning model that enhances the triage framework. So by having every quarter an analysis on this, I don't think it's a daily thing. It should be, or a monthly. I would think as a quarter, because you want to make sure that this is a control framework that's going to lead on optimizing strategies and optimizing allocation of work and making sure you identify the right risks. Good. So this is the proposed model. What are other benefits that actuaries can have? I've talked about the initial goals: customer outcomes, financial outcomes, new generation of predictors, and orchestrate training. If you're in analytics, finally, we can have behavioral claim analytics. Before, we didn't have that. If you're in analytics, your top priority would be enhanced retention models, because in a shrinking industry, we should not be losing one more customer. Fraud models. We can robust now our fraud models. And if there's a systemic issue with white-collar fraud, we should have that real evidence. If you're in valuation, now having better data quality will support your volatility. To reduce the volatility, if we have a better understanding of open claims and lay-reported claims, can have more certainty on your reserving. Lastly, if you're in pricing and product, with the connection of underwriting, claims, and all the different communications that you can have with the customer, you can have a full view of your customer profile, which from there, you can identify new risk pricing factors and also work on that design of product. Simplification. What are the features of the product that making it more complex? Okay, now we're going to move on to the demo. It's a short demo, but we wanted to show you end-to-end what this model looks like. We're going to see two user interfaces. The first interface is going to be about the customer, so how they upload information and this information gets transformed. And the other user interface is the claims assessors. The claims assessors portal. Okay. Let's start. We're going to see a mental health claim case. It's a woman, and we're going to see the forms. We're going to see some of the information. It's a person. It's not real. It's just mock-up data. This is the user interface. It's linked to the policy database, so it just has specific details of the income protection policy. It's showing here now that we can upload claim forms and invoices or any other information. It could be in PDF, image, screenshot, anything. So it uploads the information. Some of the documents may take a little bit to upload, but the idea is, because at the moment, one of the LLMs is reviewing, extracting the information. This is how the claims forms looks like. I'm sure everybody's seen them. It's mainly open claim, open questions. In this case, it's a psychological condition. It tells the story of how when it started, that there has episodes before. It talks about the limitations of the work, what was the doctor, and what was the treatment. There's a medical invoice. So the idea is to show, okay, you will have multiple documents to read and open questions where the LLM needs to extract that information, make an understanding, make an inference. It will show different aspects. So in this case, the claim's essential. It identifies an income protection, a mental health, and creates a claim summary. Very quickly for the customers to have a look of what they just uploaded. Treatment support talks about the doctor and the treatment plan. Here we just put the claim amount, letting the customer put the amount that they're expecting. Functional impact talks about the work capacity, return to work. There's fields if you see that they're blank. And if there's not available information, it should show blank, should not create anything else. Return to work, prior and similar conditions, other benefits. So it's already identifying that information. And then we're ready to submit the claim. In the background, then there's going to be a scoring and identifying on the claims triage project framework, and then coming up with the result. This is how the claims assessor's user interface looks like. So first is showing a summary of what is the determination. In this case, it's an investigation team case. It shows the different markers from a base score, complexity markers, mental health markers, severity markers, rehab markers. For example, for rehab markers, you want to make sure you model it in a way, what is the success for rehab. It shows the highest scores. And then there's three main areas here. The first one is the takeaways, key facts that the claims assessor needs to consider. Discrepancies. What are the discrepancies from the analysis that that the model did? Comparing policy versus claims. And then the next best action, which is what we want to make sure we optimize. This is quite important, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but finding the best next strategy is what's going to impact claim cost and claim duration. The next tab is about just a summary. It's about the facts. It's the step that the LLM needs to do just to extract the information. Here are all the different variables. These are all around, I think, for this model, this proof of concept, we use around 60 data points that claims assessors confirm that they're relevant when they assess the claim. This next section is just talking about, it's just showing how the documents that were reviewed. And here is the risk score. This is the information we want to give to the assessors so they can track very quickly which are the claims that they should look at first. What's the probability of having an impact in rehab? Do we need to have a further investigation because it's a complex claim? It's a more medical review. Should it need to go to the chief medical officer? And then we have all the different facts that here now it just mapped to a different variables and an inference. So for example, when we talk about the job satisfaction, in this case it's low and it extracts exactly where the information come from. It was going to give that evidence where that value came from. The next is policy. And here what we wanted to show is what are the sections from the policy, from the PDS that are relevant for that particular claim? So it's easier for the assessor to review this information. LLMs are really good at that, finding patterns, extracting information, showing, summarizing. And then we have the decision of the triage. In this case, it goes to investigation team. The assessor can add more information and say, okay, remember, what we want to make sure is we reduce the time of assessment from 5 days to minutes, right? This information is very quickly for them to have a look, facts, make a decision, talk to the customer more, tailor those strategies, and record those strategies. So you can rerun the triage or finalize the decision. The next section is just more for the people that are more interested on the AI side, just to show that per claim, we can showcase what the LLMs do. This is a list of all the different LLMs and that play in this model. So the first one, for example, this one is retrieval planner. So it's the steps that they're going to the LLM plans. Then we have the reasoner. What are the questions that the LLM is trying to solve? The critique. You want to make sure you have a separate model that critiques your decision, that critiques that reasoner. And finally, human review. Our proposal is not to replace claims assessors. It's to enhance their work. It's for actuaries to optimize the strategies, to optimize the triage, and help them have a better conversation with the customer and tailor the right communication and the right strategy for them. This is the end of the demo, and now I'm going to pass to Sami for the final remarks. Thank you.
Yeah, so just for a point of clarification, we're not selling the product that you're seeing here. It's just really a way to showcase what AI can do for a life insurance company. So me and my team have been spending the last couple of years investigating what kind of things that AI can actually add value to life companies and super funds, which are predominantly our clients. And we get asked this a lot from our client contacts as well. So we can see that more and more so that, you know, companies are actually looking seriously at adopting AI for their various processes. And what more important it is than the claims, because claims are fundamental to what a life company actually does. And a lot of the actuarial work actually fundamentally is based on claims analysis. And in, I look back in my career when I was doing group pricing or valuation or experience investigations, in some way, shape or form, the claims data is always lacking in some form or shape. You know, a lot of time that actually spend is actually to clean the data, and data is usually delayed or there's something missing in there that prevents actuaries from performing the analysis they need to do to provide the right advice to whether they're doing pricing or for reporting purposes or to provide commentaries. So this is a good place to start really to look at how AI can actually enhance the claims reporting from the claims team so that we can capture more information to perform our analysis. So while we have explored this proof of concept, we have also talked to a lot of claims managers in our journey to create this tool, because we have to understand where their pain points are. And it's been useful, just as Mariana has rightly pointed out, you know, the way that claims managers look at claims and actuaries look at claims can be quite different. And I think it's a very well collaborative opportunity for actuaries to work very closely with claims managers to create something that will not only help them, but to help them help us to get the right data, to get more information so we can perform our analysis. And as actuaries, implementing agentic AI in claims is a powerful opportunity to improve claims understanding and hence modeling, uncover new predictors, reduce uncertainty in financial outcomes, and support better customer outcomes. And there's just a few things I wrap up this session, just so that there's a few key takeaways from this session. The first one is we want to take some action. And I think a lot of the times when I look back, when I deal with claims data and all the lacking bits and pieces, I feel like I have to work with what I got. You know, whether it's pricing, we always got some deadline that we need to meet, and we have to make do with what we got. But I think the call to action here is, and when we dig deep into looking at claims data, there is actually a lot of data that is actually in the life company that is actually untouched, unstructured, and that's available, but we never actually got a chance to actually utilize it in a meaningful way. So the call to action in this case is that actuaries are in the best position because of the job that we do to advise life companies to actually work with the claims team and probably the technology teams in your company to actually come up with a way to get the right data, to get more information to help provide that advice. And I think in order to do that, and as a result, you know, the companies that do better in this way can have more efficient understanding of claims, better support for their own life companies or super funds that you work for, and develop better pricing and products, as Mariana has already mentioned. And I think for the customer or the policyholder, there's actually quite a benefit as well with more efficient claims processing. Because if the claims managers are spending 1 to 5 days just looking at the information that they just got in and not being able to talk to the customer and actually understand their needs when they need it most during claim time, it's actually not serving the customers as well as we can. And I think the other thing about the customer experience is that we actually want to promote the fact that, you know, life companies are there when the people need it most. I think the feedback loop that Mariana has touched on is actually quite powerful, because I think AI can be trained, and I think the feedback loop that AI can learn from historical data can actually help improve the engine that it's actually running on. And it, and over time, as more information gets into the system, a model such as the one we propose can actually get better and better over time. And I think the engine being better means better outcomes for the life company, for the actuaries, and also for the claims managers. As a last point, maybe not dedicated claims, but I think upskilling the team in AI tools. As I said, we've been building AI capabilities in different areas of life company. Claims being one of the most obvious ones that can take advantage of this. But I think from our experience, it's only when we start building something, getting our hands dirty, when we learn the most. So it's only through thinking about where the value add is to your day-to-day jobs and actually building something that can improve it, where you actually get to experience what how powerful AI is actually is. So I think as a final wrap-up comment before we I hand it back to Ed, is that I think as actuaries, we're in the best position to drive this, to collaborate with the claims teams and the technology teams to make something happen. And I think the mentality change here is maybe we should stop just dealing with what we have, but let's look at possibilities of what we can do to improve our analysis. I'll just hand my time to Ed for Q&A.
Okay, thank you, Sammy and Mariana, for the presentation. I don't have anyone putting a question on the app yet. So, does anyone have a question that we can take to Mike too? I can start with some questions. Oh no, you excellent.
I've got two questions. I'll ask the more interesting one first. Have you tried this with claims people, and what are their reactions to it?
Yes, with multiple. I wanted to test it. I wanted to see their views. There's a obvious reaction, a bit of fear. Well, is AI going to be true, correct? But then they see the benefit of the time. Oh, they have so much pain with looking at all the different information. One of the biggest pain is also the PDSs. They look at legacy products. So they would look at least five PDSs, and then they have to pay for the first, to the most general definition. So by telling them that, oh, I can actually do that analysis and give it to you, then they're very happy. We need to be very careful. We're not proposing to replace them. It's not. We do believe that there is a definite value that there is when they talk to the customer, and that they are the experts for tailoring the strategies. So I think it's a bittersweet, but it's overall very positive.
Okay. And the other question is not really a technical question at all. It's asking a favour. Are you guys based in Sydney by any chance?
Yes.
I'm going to be teaching a generative AI for risk management course at Uni of New South Wales in Term 3. Could I get you guys in as a guest speaker?
Oh, thank you. Yes, we'd love that. That was a very good question. Very easy. Thank you.
Do we have any other question? If not, I'll give my question. In your view, what is the greatest barrier in implementing this kind of a GOM, LLM, GRH model?
I think the first one I would say, legacy systems, connecting, making sure that you have access to the legacy systems and extract that information, that process. I don't think actuaries can do it by themselves. They definitely need data engineers and the IT team to support. In terms of the technical side of GLMs, I think we're very good at that as actuaries. So I don't think there's more barriers there. I don't know if you want to add anything, Sam.
No? Okay. Do we have any other questions? Oh, thank you.
I think it did come up on the app, but I'll ask just in person anyway. I'm interested in where you see the benefits to customers for this. Is it just in speed and efficiency, or is there something deeper?
In my view, is mainly they'll have more time and they have a better service by having a personal interaction for longer. That's one. The second one is early intervention. So less delay in the claims handling process, faster decisions, and better management strategies and recommendations. So it becomes a more person-to-person assessment, because assessors will have more time. So I think the focus on the customer is mainly on early intervention, the interactions, and tailoring. Considering now more a better profile of understanding the customer, will have better recommendations on how to manage the claim. Remember, for more than 50% of the TBD claims, it starts with a DI. So we can actually get an early indication of those type of cases and intervene early.
I guess the other indirect, maybe longer term benefit to the customer is the better claims data that we get and the more accurate means that the pricing teams and the product development teams can actually understand the clients or policy holders a little bit better. I've done pricing in the past and, you know, we price based on whatever claims data we've got, and usually they're very limited and we have to make up something, you know, with new benefits. And but with better data over time, we're hoping that by understanding the needs of the customers or policyholders, we can develop products that are more pressed. I noticed that, you know, in this conference, we've done a lot of TPD sessions. In fact, I think a lot of people are across the other side now. But I think, obviously, it's an industry-wide problem. And whenever I talk to pricing actuaries or experience investigation actuaries who look at a TPD claims data, there's various things that obviously they can conclude. But I think there's always a bit of a limitation on how we can actually look at that to pinpoint what the issue actually is. There's multiple factors that contribute to the poor experience. But I think I'm hoping that with more information and more consistent data, and maybe now what used to be impossible with the unstructured data that we've got with AI, now it's becoming possible. And I think, I'm not saying that, you know, you can just get it and just run something over it, but I think without digging deep and looking at what's there, you can't really make anything out of it. But I think now it is possible with AI to actually look at that and say, well, can we credibly use that information for pricing or experience investigations to give us extra insights? So I think that's probably an indirect and longer term one. But I feel like something like this is only a start. There's many other possibilities with claims data that we can think about, but we only have very limited time to build something to showcase what the possibilities are. And different companies can probably take this idea and even make it much better. I think that's where we're coming from.
Okay. Yep, we have a few more questions on the app now, so I'll quickly ask some. One of the questions is, would the triage system tap into phone calls?
We haven't designed that. Definitely emails and read the emails. But yes, I would say it is possible, because now calls have transcripts and transcripts can be ingested in the LLM model. So the answer actually is yes.
So not tapping the call, but I think if the company records the call and turn it into transcripts, that's part of the unstructured data that I'm talking about. You know, if you capture it systematically, and then you can actually make something out of it and then convert it into some information that you can utilize, maybe. I think it is possible, but we haven't built something in to this one.
Oh, did you have a question?
Hi, thank you for the presentation. I'm coming from a small insurance company mindset, but how big does your book have to be for this to be truly useful? And to extend upon, especially because a lot of the claims, like there's some claims that are very, are quite obvious that there are uses for it, but some, especially the more where claim causes, I'm just concerned about lack of training data that, and I'm my, I think there's a real risk that, a claims assessor may judge the, like, it might work really well for the more common, but there's the real risk that there might be a bit more hallucination or with regards to the rare claim causes, and that the claims assessor may not be able to, like, it's a bit of training must be involved in this, but I just want to, it's just, I think we have to consider different situations here.
I think it can work with a small sample because we're talking about the end-to-end, right? From structure to structure, even if what have one claim, it can transfer from structure to structure. The part that will be very difficult is your starting point as the triage framework. In that one, yeah, you will not have credibility, but it can be set up with industry stats as an initial point, and you would have to rely a lot on the claims assessors, reviews, and overrides.
Yeah, probably the only thing to add to that is obviously the bigger the book, the more claims you have, I think you'll see the efficiency gains a lot more. Like group insurance insurers, they have tens of thousands of claims every month coming in, and something like this could be quite efficient. But different scales of life companies can make use of something like this because the whole point is about not just about efficiency, but it's capturing the right data, triaging, meaning ranking the claims according to the scores that we talked about. I mean, those scores are what we made up. There's many different metrics you can measure which one is a priority, and it aligns to your claim strategy. And so by ranking them properly, it allows the more significant claims or the high-impact claims to be looked at first and probably give it more focus, whereas the smaller ones can probably be less, depending on how much claims manager resources you have.
Okay, I've got one last question that's a related question to the question been asked. How would you deal with potential bias in the system if the training is automatically fed back into the system?
Yeah, bias is a big one, but there was bias in initial analysis from assessors, remember? They were analyzing 100 data points. So there is already bias in the initial, in the current approach. But yes, LLMs can have bias. And the way that to work against that is setting up the guidelines and the guardrails. By breaking down the steps, you have more control on what the LLM does. By putting a critique on top of the reasoner also controls that bias, because it's critiquing, it's criticizing the reasoning of another LLM. And if the critique is not satisfied, then it goes and reroutes to claims triage again.
Yeah, I think with AI, it's easy to say that, you know, it's doing its thing and whatever pops out on the other side, you just use. But I think there needs to be controls and checks. And, you know, that's why I'm not really convinced that AI can really take over a lot of jobs. It might do for some, but it creates other ones. But as an actuarial profession, and even claims managers for that, as Mariana said, the tool is not really meant to replace the human judgment and the human intervention. And I think the whole process should be built such that there's controls and things that you need to be looking at. Well, maybe not with zero bias, but you want to minimize the bias and actually refine the approach and inputs accordingly.
Okay. Yep. I would like to thank the audience for the participation and the speaker for providing this presentation. Can you put your hands together?